It's been several weeks since we started a series of messages in our Wednesday night studies on the powerful principles of the Word of God. Though our Bible contains hundreds of principles which have been given to us by the inspiration of God, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, to help us and direct us in the way we ought to go, God's Word deals with every need of man in every generation. And the wondrous beauty of our Bible is that His Word is relevant in our day. Even though it was written thousands of years ago, the Bible is relevant to us today in our society that is happy to be known as a postmodern society. These things are so, that God's Word is relevant, because God deals with the needs of men through the needs of means of principle more than He does through the means of the mandate. There are times where the Bible gives us very strict commands and things that we are to do. But the Bible also deals mostly in many ways with these wonderful principles of God's Word. According to Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, a principle is defined as a comprehensive and fundamental law, a doctrine or assumption, a rule or code of conduct. And within the pages of God's Word, we find these principles, these rules of conduct, these ways that we ought to live. And these principles, if we will learn them, these principles, if we will apply them to our lives, to our homes, to the church, we will find them truly to be powerful within our lives. The principles of God's Word work. And that's the blessing of the Bible. What God says will work, works. And if we are willing to follow His Word, if we are willing to live by His principles, even if to us in our own modern mind and our thinking, it doesn't seem to make sense, those principles work. You know, if you begin to look around in society today, you can see many things that the world has deviated from in the Bible. You know, the Bible tells us and gives us principles as parents how we should deal with our children and discipline our children. You've been out recently to the mall, to a restaurant, only to see a child that is absolutely a terror and actually makes your experience an awful experience, even though they're not with you? Ever been in that situation? Sometimes you want to walk over and say, I just want to correct that parent and tell them what to do. That child's driving me nuts. They're terrible. You know what? Sometimes I find the very same problem in Christian parents. Sometimes we deviate from what the Bible says we ought to do. But you know that God's Word works. Our society doesn't seem to understand that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And the rod of correction drives it far from them. Oh, that doesn't work. We should reason with them. Why would you reason with a child who cannot reason? It doesn't work. God's way works. God gives us direction for the way our homes work and function best. The husband is the head of the wife. The wife in submission to her husband. Children in obedience to their parents. Yet the greatest problem within our society today often revolves around the home and the family and the relationships of husbands and wives. Why? Well, God's way doesn't work. That's just outdated. We're modern people. We have found a better way. But it doesn't work. Today we find, as we even discussed with Brother Herbster here, that the world and the church has come up with new ways to worship. The modern way. That'll really have an impact. That'll really make a difference. But you know what? It doesn't work. God's way works. I may have shared this with you before. I read a book years ago, and it was entitled The Surprising Insights of the Recently Unchurched. The book has as a premise a survey. And it went to people and asked them this question. You've never been in church before. Now there was a point that you were converted, and now you are actively involved in an evangelical church. What keeps you coming? Why are you here? You weren't in church before, now you're here and actively involved. What made the difference? Anyone want to guess what the number one reason was? 90% of all who were polled said the preaching of the Word of God and doctrine. You know what 11% said? Music and the style of music. Now let me ask you a question. What's the Bible say about what will bring someone to the church? Preaching of the Word of God. To the world it is foolishness, but it's the power of God unto salvation. The Bible gives to us many principles to help us live our lives and to walk in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. In our first study that we did a couple weeks ago, we talked about the principle of sowing and reaping. We saw from that principle that it is, first of all, universal. All fall under the principle of sowing and reaping. No one can escape. And we also saw that it's pretty simple. You cannot reap where you do not sow, and you will not reap differently from what you have sown. The Bible gives a very basic, simple principle of sowing and reaping. But if we would learn to take that principle and apply it to our lives, in every area of life, we're going to find that the principle works and it's powerful and will have a great impact upon our lives, upon our family, and upon our church. God has given to us many wonderful principles. I want to consider another tonight. I want you to open your Bible tonight to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Tonight I want to talk about the principle of priority and possessions. Priorities and possessions. In Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to invite you to follow along as I begin reading in verse 19. We'll read down through verse 34, then we'll have a word of prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Familiar passage to us. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The lay of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what shall ye put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Answer, certainly we are. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time together tonight. We thank you for this opportunity to be able to come and study your word. Bless, Lord, as we consider these principles, these powerful principles from thy word. We'll thank you and praise you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All of us face the challenge of being efficient in the use of the time that God has given to us. God has told us that we should learn to number our days. We are to use the time that God has given to us for His honor and for His glory. And if we're going to be successful in using our time well, one of the things that we need to learn to do is to prioritize our lives. To be able to put first things first. The society in which you and I live today has a set of values. That set of values places priorities on certain areas of life. Yet what we find is that the world's set of values is in stark contrast to the Bible's set of values. The world's set of values would revolve around that which is material, whereas the Bible's set of values revolves around that which is spiritual. And in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord Jesus wants to give us some principles to help us set the right priorities. To help us to use that time that God has given to us well. That we would put first things first. I think you would agree with me that our society today is consumer-based. And we are consumed with consumer items. It's always amazing to me in the realms of technology. A new device comes out. 6 months later, the next device comes out. And the people who had the old device don't ever think the old one is good enough because there's a new one. So they have to go out and get the newest one because that has to be better than the old one, even though the other one's only 6 months old. Because we're consumed with consumer items. We are materially based and materially driven. In our world today, success is determined by the possessions that one has acquired. If you have more than everybody else, then you're more successful than everybody else. Let me ask you a question. Was the Lord Jesus Christ successful? I would say yes. But foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have not where to lay his head. Was Paul successful? Not according to the world, he wasn't. He asked for some parchments and a cloak. That's all he died with. He owned almost nothing in this world. But in our world today, it is consumed with that which is material. But success, according to the scripture, has nothing to do with that which is material. It has everything to do with that which is spiritual, and that is determined with our relationship and our growth in the Lord. And so the Lord Jesus, in this very first sermon that he would preach, helps those who are listening to understand how to set right priorities. Because success is based on that which is spiritual, not on that which is physical or material. And the sad reality is that philosophy of the world can very easily creep in to those of us who know Christ. We can be very much materialistic and very much driven by that of the consumer. Now, there's nothing wrong with having any of those things. If you're a technology guy and you like your gadgets, that's okay. If you're a car guy and you like your things, so be it. If you're a lady and you like, well, I don't know, whatever you like, then so be it. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with those things as long as they're not the priorities of our life. And the Lord Jesus wants to help us to have the right set of priorities. There are two things tonight I want us to see and learn about this area of priorities. Two key principles. Number one, I want you to see with me from verse 19 to verse 24 that your priorities are determined by your affections. Your priorities are determined by your affections. I think when you read verse 19 down through verse 24, the Lord makes that point relatively clear. He begins in verse 19 and says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But instead, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal." Verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." The Lord Jesus makes it very plain and very clear that we have two choices in our life. We can live for that which is material, the things of this earth, or we can live for that which is spiritual, the things of heaven. And He makes it clear that in His mind, we are not to be laying up for that which is material. That phrase, to lay up, means this: to place in store, to secure an item of value. It literally has the idea of to place in a treasure box. If you have something of great value and you want it protected today, what do you do with it? We put it in the safe. We open a safe deposit box that no one else can get into. We lay it up in store. If you have something in your home that you treasure, you don't put it where everyone can get it. You lay it up in store. It goes up on the mantle so the grandkids can't reach it. You don't put it on the coffee table where they can play with it and knock it over. You put it behind a glass cabinet so no one, they can see it, but they're not allowed to touch it. Why? It's valuable to you. You lay it up in store. You value it. And the Lord Jesus says, listen, don't value the things of this earth. Don't treasure its treasures. We're not to place value in those things which are temporal and of this world. We are to place value in that which is spiritual. How do you know if you're laying up treasures in heaven or in earth? Well, the Lord Jesus says in verse 21, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Where are your affections set? Are your affections set on the things of the earth? Or are your affections set on those things which are in heaven? Our affections are clearly linked to our treasures. If we value it, we do so because it means something to us. You ever been somewhere and someone says, "Let me show you one of my most prized possessions." And they bring it out and you go, "That? Why is that so precious to them?" "It was my great-great-great-great-grandmother's and she's passed it down all these years." And you're going, "It's junk." But not to them. To them it is precious and they value it. There's affection behind that. Just like sometimes, ladies, you sometimes go, "Why is he so interested in things like, I don't know, cars? Who cares?" But to him, it's something of value. We all have those things that we value, and we know what we value by how our affections are tied to them. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The Apostle Paul put it this way, Colossians 3 and verse 1 through 3, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth." The Lord Jesus wants us to know that our priorities are determined by our affections. But he gives us two basic reasons why we should ensure proper priorities through right affections and place them on things above. Why should we set our priorities on spiritual things instead of material things? Why does the Lord Jesus Christ say, "Don't lay up and store the things of earth"? Well, two basic reasons. We know them, yet we readily forget them. Number one, the things of earth will fade away. Don't set your affections on things of the earth, where moth and rust corrupts, where thieves break through and steal. You know, nothing of this earth lasts forever. All things have a lifespan here on earth. The most valued treasure that you have will one day fade away. You can live your life for all of those things, and one day they will be gone. Very few items last for centuries, and those that do are now behind glass in a museum. But nothing will last forever. Those things which we greatly value on this earth can easily be taken away. Thieves break through and steal. People take that which we value away from us. Why do we live for that which is spiritual? One, the things of this earth fade away, but two, the things of God are eternal. Can I remind you of this truth? That which God gives, He guarantees. That which God gives to us, He guarantees. It's going to last forever. God promises eternal life. It will last forever. God promises to you and I a home in heaven, and He describes it to us. It will last forever. What God gives, He guarantees. Number two, that which belongs to God, He protects. No one can take them from us. Can anything separate you from the love of God? Can anything pluck you out of the Father's hand? That which belongs to God, He protects. The Lord Jesus shares that truth, and He says to us, therefore, have a single focus on spiritual things. That's the meaning of verse 22, 23, and 24. Let your eye be single. Be singular focused. The opposite of that is to be double visioned. James calls it to be double-minded. And the Lord Jesus reminds us that no man can serve two masters. He's either going to hate one and love the other. He'll serve the one and despise the other. But you can't do both. You can only have one master. You can't have the priorities on spiritual things and say, but at the same time, I really give priority to material things. It's one or the other. You can't serve both. And so the Lord Jesus says, be singular in focus. In Luke chapter 12, verse 13 to verse 21, we won't turn there tonight, but the Lord reminds us to be careful in regards to material things, especially to be careful not to covet. In Luke chapter 12, one comes to the Lord and says, can you help settle this dispute between my brother and I? He needs to divide the inheritance. You know what the Lord shares with them? The Lord teaches them that wonderful story. There was a rich man, and he had many great possessions. And he wakes up one day and says, you know what? I have so many riches. I'm going to tear down my old barns. I'm going to build me new ones. And I'm going to lay up all my treasures in store. Then I'm going to eat, drink, and I'm going to be merry for the rest of my life. And God said, thou fool, today I require your soul. So the Lord is saying, don't worry about the material things. Focus on that which is spiritual. Our priorities are determined by our affections. But second, priorities are retained by our thoughts. In verse 25 to verse 34, six times the Lord Jesus refers to our thoughts. Take no thought. He also says, behold, consider. He is helping us understand that our priorities will be retained by that which we choose to think upon. If we're going to retain right priorities, then we have to learn to think properly and learn to think biblically. In the passage, the Lord shares the priorities that are important to the world. And these priorities are that which consume their thinking. There's three that he mentions in this passage. He mentions that the world is consumed with eating, drinking, and clothing. You know what I find interesting? That in the Lord Jesus' day, the focus was eating, drinking, and clothing. You want to know what the focus of the world today is? Eating, drinking, clothing. Has it changed? What are the greatest consumer items in our society? Food, drink, clothing. What are the vast majority of your advertisements today? Food, drink, clothing. What are the most popular stores out there today? Food, drink, clothing. And the Lord says, how are you going to think? Are you going to think about simply that which is material? Or think about that which is spiritual. He says, don't think, don't take any thought, don't worry, don't be filled with anxiety of what you're going to eat. Don't be overrun with anxiety of what you will drink or what you're going to put on. And he gives us some examples. He says, behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, and they don't reap. Yet they're fed. Consider the lily of the field. They toil not. But God clothes them. And they're there one day and gone the next. Will he not clothe you? Of course he will. He wants us instead to focus on that which is spiritual and walk and live by faith. But our world is consumed with those things. But we are to take no thought, no care, no anxiety for those things. Because our Heavenly Father knows what we have need of. And He supplies our needs according to His riches in glory. Now, instead of being consumed with feeding the body, as a believer, we ought to be more consumed with feeding the soul. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 3 it says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. There he's directly speaking to the ladies, but he says to them, don't let it be about what you wear outwardly, your clothing. Let it be about the hidden man. Let it be that which is spiritual. Let it be the spirit, the soul that you feed. Not caring so much for what you wear. It's not about ornaments of gold. It's the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. It's an ornament of character that matters to God. We ought to be more consumed with our spiritual soul, not our bodies. Instead of worrying about clothing the body, we ought to make sure that our spiritual garments are in order. What's Paul saying in Ephesians chapter 4? Well, beginning in verse 17, he says, put off the old man, put on the new. The picture's there of a garment. You come in from work and you're dirty, you're greasy, you're smelly, you put off the old. You go take a shower. What do? You come back and you put those old dirty clothes back on. Go out for dinner, right? Of course not. You put those off, and you put on the new. And that ought to be our focus. That ought to be our concern. Am I clothing my spiritual body properly? Am I putting on that which is godly? Or am I allowing anger, wrath, and bitterness, and malice, and all of those things to fill me? Or can I be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you? We ought to be concerned for that which is spiritual. The final admonition that we want to consider tonight, seeing that the Lord's command, is that we should be seeking first God, His kingdom, and righteousness. Verse 33 is so familiar to us. But if we're going to be setting the right priorities, that priority begins, does it not, with seeking after God. The Lord Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things I'll take care of." We don't have to worry about that which is material. God says, focus on that which is spiritual. First things first. And folks, there's nothing more first in your life than God. He is to be the preeminent one. If we're going to put God in His rightful place, then we ought to give Him the first of our day. And what I mean by that is we ought to give Him time each and every day, that we set aside that time that we can come and be with Him, whether that be in the morning, noon, or at night. But we ought to give God the best of our day. Well, we can come and we can hear from Him and from His Word. Well, we can talk to Him in prayer. Well, we can focus on that which is spiritual. Yes, we have to live and do things within the material world, but God ought to have the first part of our day. You know, God ought to have the first part of our week. I don't think it's any mistake that Sunday's the first day of the week. And it belongs to Him. We shouldn't be forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. He's the priority, is He not? Coming before the Lord in worship ought to be a priority. We ought to give God the first of our finances, our tithes and offerings. We ought to give God first in our choices. We don't have to think about that one. But you know, every decision that we made ought to include God. Not one should exclude Him. What'd you think about that for a moment? Because if we allow that one to really settle in, it's going to change some of the things that we would do. I'm always mindful of Colossians 3, verse 17. It's one I share with youth and I share with parents too. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, that's going to cover pretty much everything. And what you say, and what you do. And whatsoever you do in word and deed, here's the challenge. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Before I do it, before I say it, you know what ought to go through my mind? Can I say it, do it in His name? Can I go there in Jesus' name? Can I be with that person in Jesus' name? Can I go to that place in Jesus' name? Can I say what I'm about to say in His name? Well, I think I can. Okay, here's the second one. Can I give Him thanks for what I just said and what I just did? Here's a tip, Mom and Dad. Sometimes you go, oh, I don't know. I'm afraid to let my kids go out on their own. Listen, you can let them go on their own and do some things. They got to eventually do those things. You know what I always tell parents? Tell them. Before they go, read Colossians 3:17. And say, when you come home, I'm going to ask you two questions. Number one, did you do it in the name of the Lord? And number two, tell me and what you can give thanks God for what you just did tonight. And I'm going to ask you that when you come home. So that child walks through the door and you say to them, sit down and tell me, give God thanks for everything you did tonight. You put that thought in their mind. You might ruin their night, but that's okay. Because there are some things you cannot do in His name, and there are some things you cannot do, and then thank Him for allowing you to do it. Not if you're a Christian. Too many times as Christians, we don't make God part of our decisions. We leave Him out. But if we're seeking first things first and seeking the kingdom of God, He has to be a part of our decisions. That's not only true for our youth, that's true for you. Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? What's my family allowed to be involved with? How am I going to counsel this person? What will I say? How will I respond to the feelings that I have today? Do I put God in part of all those decisions, or do I leave Him out? Too often we leave God out. And we live for that which is material. We're laying up in store the things of the earth and forsaking the things of God. And the Lord Jesus says, but that's not the right priority. The way to set right priorities is get control of your affections, because your affections determine your priorities. And the way to retain those priorities is by learning to think biblically. Because your thoughts will direct the priorities that you keep. If I begin to think and allow my mind to be consumed with material things, guess what I'm going to start deciding for? If I allow my mind to be consumed with spiritual things, it's going to have the same impact. And we are told in Scripture to learn to think on that which is lovely and pure and of good report. God wants us to have right priorities. And by the way, you have priorities tonight, one way or the other. You're either choosing to lay up in store for you treasures on earth, or you're laying up in store for you treasures in heaven. It's your choice as to what priorities you will set. It's my choice as to what priorities I will set. Will I live for the things of the earth, that which fades away, that which can be taken away? Or do I live for the things of heaven, which God guarantees and God protects? One's a foolish investment, the other is wise. And the Lord Jesus comes and He shares with us principles about priorities and possessions. Don't worry about that which is material. Who cares? God will take care of those things. They're nothing to Him. And folks, they are. It's nothing to God. We're to focus on that which is spiritual and feed the soul. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time.